Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here. Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, Election Day is finally upon us, and people are at the polls. A record number of people have voted early. We are in the thick of it. Now, don't forget, tonight, starting at 7:15 p.m., we will go live with election coverage, and we will not break away until we know something. We will not end the coverage tonight until we are able to tell you something definitively. What that is at this point, we don't really know. But we'll all learn together tonight how this is going to work. Now, Terry Tackett will be at Republican headquarters. Linda Sims will be at Democratic headquarters. Mike Wilson will be at the Board of Elections. And I'll be in studio with Sean Kraft, Mary Ellen Withrow, Ted Williams, and Angie Evers. Now, you can listen online at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH Radio, or you can listen over the air at 107.1.1, however you say it, FM. So that's how it's all going to work tonight. And we're all excited. I've talked to the whole team, and they're ready to go. And yesterday, somebody asked me how to download the TuneIn app so they could listen on their mobile device. It's going to be a night, unlike any other, really. And, you know, we say unprecedented all the time, but this really is unprecedented because we've never done this during a pandemic in modern times, and we certainly have never done this where we might not have a winner or a loser tonight because of the way voting has been done, although most people are starting to say that might not be the case, that we might have a winner. So we'll find out together, as I say. Unless the races are really out of whack, meaning really close, we should have a winner. But will they be close? We don't know. There are lawsuits already being filed. And you know, you can just search the internet or pick up a newspaper and figure that one out right now. Now, where are we going to be tomorrow? That's a whole nother question. There's a lot of questions tonight that if we do predict the presidential election, will one side concede? I don't know if they will or not. And what will happen if they don't concede? Will there be a legal challenge? I know a lot of them have already been filed because of the way voting has been done, mail-in and early voting and all this sort of thing. And then we also are highly worried, and it's the talk on a lot of stations right now, will there be any kind of violence because of this election? I really don't know, to be honest with you. I think it all comes down to what happens tonight as to where we will be tomorrow. There are groups of people out there right now who believe very strongly in their candidate and maybe believe more strongly in their candidate than any other presidential candidate in modern times. So if that candidate should lose, what will happen? I don't know. We'll all find out together. I guess we'll be here tomorrow morning trying to figure all that out. And that's exactly what we'll do. We'll figure it all out together. All right, again, phone lines are open here this morning. If you want to express your opinion in any way, we thank Chip for calling in hour number one. 20 minutes past the hour here. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss anything on your mind. It's all anybody's talking about today. At the restaurants, people's workplaces, the polls. As I said this morning, the roads were packed this morning where I live. Now, I live about a mile away from one of the biggest polling places in Marion, which could explain that. But traffic was like it never is. it's not that way anytime, but it was this morning, so that's what we do. Go ahead, caller.
You know, I've been listening this morning and I find it very interesting. Of all these things that's come about, I think people need to sit back and think God's still in control and he's still on the throne. And I think there's going to be a very huge surprise when this thing is over.
Well, you know, an election, you're right, an election can go either way. And I certainly think 4 years ago, people were very surprised. But I just don't want to be surprised tomorrow by people rioting, violence. That's what we hope to avoid, I think.
Well, it would be avoided if the people that are causing it, the homegrown terrorists, and I truly believe that within my heart, both groups that are involved with this, especially after what I recently saw on the news where some Jewish people went down to support BLM and they turned on them and told them to get the blank out. They didn't want any part of them. And God's word said, you curse my people, and the Jews are definitely his people. He will curse you.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the only thing I will say about tonight, different from 4 years ago, is this is just what I have taken a look at. 4 years ago, everybody did think that Hillary Clinton was going to win because that's what the polls showed, and obviously that's not what happened in the Electoral College, and that's the way it goes. You have a winner and you have a loser. The difference is this time, and I'm only saying this, and I'm not saying it's going to go this way, but I do know this. I do know that the people who polled that election in 2016 were so decimated because they got it wrong that they have been polling in these swing states like they have never polled before, in Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio and Florida and North Carolina and Arizona. So the results, I am just going to make this prediction. What the polls are showing are going to be pretty close to what we see tonight, because these pollsters do not want to have egg on their face like they did 4 years ago. And they did not go to Michigan or Wisconsin in 2016, 6 weeks before the election. They were there this past weekend. It's a little different that way.
Well, it may be, but also you have to take into consideration both parties and what their platforms stand for. And I'm not going to mention any names, but God hates abortion, that's murder. God hates same-sex marriage. And God also hates the people that despise the Jewish people and cause them problems. And if you stand back and look and see which party has stood for these things and which party hasn't, that ought to give you a good idea of what's going to take place tonight.
Well, that's what, and this is what worries me to a certain extent, is that if people, because I love to see people supporting a candidate. As I said, when I drove in this morning, and I'm sure there were a lot of them, a pickup truck drove by me out on Mount Vernon Avenue, two Trump flags in the back. And I don't doubt that these are very fervent supporters of President Trump, and I love seeing that because I love anybody getting that involved in the political function in this country. The problem is let's say he doesn't win. Because I believe the Trump vote, and he could win, I'm not saying he's not going to, but let's say those people believe he's going to win. They 100% believe it, because he won 4 years ago when people thought he wouldn't. And if he loses, are those people going to be okay with that? I don't know. A shot could go both ways tonight.
Well, I've got it on good authority from upstairs. I know who's going to win, and I'm not worried about it. Not in the least because of that. And I know prayer carries a lot of weight. but I also know that God will not be mocked. And I'm very sorry, but we've got some people out there that are in elected offices that I'm sure are going to be very shaken up when this whole mess comes full circle. We're going to see things and hear things that we never dreamed would be possible.
Well, it's going to be an interesting night for sure. Do you think we'll know the winner tonight?
I think so.
Yeah. I would, unless it's very close, I would tend to go with you. I think we will probably know the winner tonight. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in. I always appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a very blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye. And again, don't forget to listen to that coverage tonight starting at 7:15 p.m. This is what we're all a little tentative about. Nothing wrong to support your candidate. If you vote for Trump today, good. If you vote for Biden today, good. As long as it's what you want to do, good. But I've never seen an election where Walmart had to pull ammunition. Now, there have been reports, as I said in hour number one, that they've put the ammunition back on the shelf. Those reports, I don't know. Those reports are a little shaky. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But it definitely was definitive that at some point they did pull the ammunition from the shelf. And that the largest retailer in the world would do that prior to a presidential election, to me, is an unbelievable sign. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Calls. As a matter of fact, we're going to take an interesting call here, a surprise guest coming up momentarily. So we have got to step out here for hopefully just 2 minutes, maybe a little longer, but we're coming right back with our surprise guest. Don't you dare go anywhere.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can. You can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. We're having fun every day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal and all that? Oh, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
are professional wrestler and movie star Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listen to the WWGH, this is Ox Baker. Man, hi, I know you listen to WWGH, you better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there, how are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, 1 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, the place to be.
And we're back here this historic election morning, Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2020, 32 minutes past the hour. And remember, we'll be on tonight starting at 7:15 p.m., and we will not break away for anything until we know something. Now, usually I would say until we know the results, but right now, who knows how that's all going to work. But until we know something, starting at 7:15, until we know something, we will be on the air tonight covering local and national election results. Now, this guest we have right now, and I'm saying it like this for this reason. To have this person on Election Day morning means the world to me because, frankly, as we were all growing up, we all wanted to be this person if we are in the talk show game. Nobody did it better than him, and I'm so glad you can see his programs on YouTube, and if you have an antenna, you can see them on the Decades channel. They're all over the place. There are DVDs out there, places you can order them. They should be out there. This man had Jackie Robinson on his show, Alfred Hitchcock, Katharine Hepburn, Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, you can name them all, but he's here this morning because he's also very active in the political world. He certainly pays attention and has for many years. No better guest to have on election morning 2020 during the pandemic and everything else going on than the best there ever was in the talk show game, who has been a great friend to me over the years. He called in on my birthday. He called in at the start of the pandemic, and he's been on many times over the years. We never get tired of hearing from him. He is the legendary, and that's the only way to say it, Dick Cavett. Mr. Cavett, happy Election Day.
I don't see how I can follow that.
Only you could.
Has Trump declared victory yet?
Yeah, about 5 minutes.
I just got up and I checked the news.
just about 5 minutes ago. I think he's already declared.
I'm sure.
Well,
what must he be thinking?
Well, you know, Mr. Cavett, we've heard all the political pundits. We've heard people make their predictions. At this point, what's your prediction?
That I'm going to spend the rest of the day scared. It does seem like, because it's Trump, something just awful could happen. And the boobs that he tempts from their lair with their guns, I don't think are going to take any bad news lightly. It just seems like somehow I feel like we're waiting for Pearl Harbor to happen again.
Well, and you know, Mr. Cavett, this is the interesting thing of this election. We're talking about the results tonight, but the truth of the matter is, where are we going to be tomorrow morning? Walmart pulled ammunition from the shelves. Nothing like that's ever happened.
No, this is the definition of unique. And people say very unique, which, of course, you can't be. You can only be unique. But I don't know what to think. I can't wait to watch and listen. And how are you going to do your show? You're going to just stay open the whole time?
Yeah, when we come on at 7:15, we do not break away, and we have people stationed all over and a crew here in the studio. But, you know, tonight, I don't really know. I think we'll have a winner in local, and
And I think we'll have a winner in the presidential because I don't think they're going to be razor-thin margins. Would you suspect that as well, or am I wrong on this one?
Okay, well, it's a date of a number. that's for a cliche. I just hope that one of the worst things that can happen doesn't happen. I never really felt sorry for... I'm not capable of feeling sorry for Donald Trump for anything until I got a look at Donald Trump Jr. What are we going to do?
Oh, no.
Yesterday, he has nicely told us that the pandemic is all but gone. Father and son.
Well, you know, this has been a question, Mr. Cavett, and I want you to answer this because I've talked to a lot of people about this. Now, I'm not saying anything about Joe Biden except this. Is this really today all about Trump? The people who like him are voting for him, and the people who dislike him are voting for Biden, meaning to say the Democrats could have ran Donald Duck at this point. It's really all about getting rid of Trump if you're voting against him.
It's true. And, you know, the basic question that I have, I've taken to tweeting again, the one that's gotten enormous reaction was, can anyone explain why no matter how bad Trump gets, and he does by steps and steps, gets worse, people who love him cannot be turned off from him? And do the people who love Trump have a television or a radio or a newspaper or a magazine? Or have they missed everything that's happened since the previous election? God, how do you explain it?
Well, in some opinions that I've heard, it's not really people supporting a political candidate. They are fans of his, and the word fan comes from fanatic, which I think is why we're all a little frightened should he lose tonight.
Yeah, boy. I wonder if he'll leave the country.
Well, you know, that's
don't let the door bat you in the butt when you go home.
Well, this has been a big question as well. If Trump should lose, because he's been campaigning awful hard the last couple weeks, is there a real threat of him being prosecuted in the Southern District of New York?
I read a piece somewhere this morning. The only thing I read was about two paragraphs, and one of them was that those who have access to his intimate circle said that he is very, very worried about how vulnerable he will be when he's out there, a target of investigators of all kinds. He could be buried in jeopardy that he's in now, by the jeopardy that he's in now. Yeah, I think it's going to be possible. Some prosecutors can't wait for him to be out of office. For that reason. Get him.
Do you think that after the 2016 election that there is any chance that the pollsters who take money from people to supply these polls are going to end up with egg on their face again tonight?
If they end up with a giant omelet on their face, I might leave the country. I probably won't, but I might hide. No, it's hard to see how they could be that wrong on all the fronts that say that he's not going to win. And yet, last 2016, I watched the night, and there was a thing given in New York, some thing for a lot of celebrities and others to go into a large room full of TV sets and have a party and watch Hillary win. And there were all sorts of them. I remember talking to Harvey Weinstein. I saw him sitting over in the corner. Everybody else was frolicking and delighted that there were Beatles there and all sorts of celebs. And he was just looking awful. I'm not as awful as he's been able to look since, but he looks awful enough. And I said, what's the matter? Other people were partying, not watching the television screens. And he said, this is not going well. And I remember getting a chill the way they said it. And he was right. Everybody else was wrong.
You know, two things tonight that I think this will come down to presidentially are, well, I guess the polling, I guess there's a third thing, the polling that we just talked about. But the other two things are, when you look at this, Arizona is in play. A matter of fact, if you look at the polls right now, Arizona is leading Democrat. That doesn't happen in presidential races. And North Carolina is looking to be Democrat. That certainly was not the case in 2016.
I know. And your question before that was, can we trust the fact that they've got the right data or information? Let's hope so. Jeez.
Well, and this
who
is...
what's his chief of staff's name?
Meadows, yeah.
He, of course, is whistling all the time that everything's going to be fine. But somebody said that even he secretly has expressed a little fear of how it's going to turn out. It's almost hard to believe because he's such a yay-sayer.
Well, wow. Do you think there will be legal action should Trump lose tonight, that he will immediately file a petition to try to get these mail-in ballots thrown out?
Yes.
I don't think there's anything that you could think of that's beneath him. He's lowered the bar to somewhere about 8 inches below the ground. I don't know what... I wish I knew. The suspense is really beginning to get to me. By the way, Trump, I wrote a tweet once, imagine Trump's library. You'd have to.
Well,
anyway.
Is it safe to say, Mr. Cavett, that you did not vote for Trump?
Oh, boy, I hope not. No, you picture Trump home working on his exegesis of Finnegan's Wake for his master's degree. How did we get him?
Do you think...
People look at that and see something wonderful.
Well, do you think the pandemic was his Waterloo?
Yeah.
Ooh, good question. I wish I were. My wife Martha pointed out that people have had a wonderful civics lesson with all this. We've read things we wouldn't ordinarily bother to. We've learned things. We know a woman who has learned and memorized all of the Electoral College numbers. So,
For each state,
yes, you can tell you what they are. People are absorbed in this. They've never given a damn about anything, but yeah, I guess I'll vote by probably a Democrat. So in a sense, maybe he's taught us a little something.
Now, Mr. Cavett, you've been through the Nixon elections.
Will you stop calling me Mr. Cavett? We're about the same age, I think. Given or take a century or two. And I heard you say my name once, and it was music to my ears. If you want to call me Mr. Dick, that's okay.
Well, I don't know. We might have to go over to satellite radio for me to call you that. I don't know if we could do it here over the
airwaves. but Dick, let's go this way. Dick, tonight, I mean, are you nervous because you think there could be riots? Or are you nervous because you think Trump could win? Or is it a combination of both?
Oh, yeah, those two fit together nicely. if he loses, I doubt that there'll be too many riots. I don't suppose the Young Men's Christian Association and others will throw Molotov cocktails around. But the thought of his continuing is just physically difficult to take.
Is there
mentally?
Is there any chance, even if we call a winner tonight, is there any chance that he concedes?
No, ever.
I don't see how, short of red-hot pokers applied to parts of his body, and you can choose your favorite part, I don't know if he could. If he wanted to, he's such a soulless man. He doesn't have human reactions. Nobody's been able to find any yet. So I don't know. That too is an interesting question and could have. By the way, who teaches everybody who goes on a news show or your show to say, that's a wonderful question. There's some academy that teaches people to do that. They all do it.
Well, you always know.
Let me ask this.
Well,
I always want to say when they say, let me ask you this, who's stopping you? They're all set. Remember, Arthur Godfrey, who was a bit of a genius, lying in a hospital. By the way, Arthur Godfrey was a radio and television personality who practically ruled the media for years, had a folksy talk show. And once he said something quite brilliant. Don't ever say, ladies and gentlemen, or ladies and the radio says, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience. Say you. You're one person listening. That person wants to talk to you, supposedly. So you don't even say, good morning, everyone. That doesn't reach you. Good morning does. Or how are you? Anyway, isn't that interesting?
Well, I think it is interesting because, you know, it's funny because the word I get accused of using more than any other word is interesting, and it's always my response to anybody's answer, especially politicians, because you don't want to tick off either side because you want them both to come on. So no matter what they say, I say, that's interesting.
And what you just said is interesting.
That's how you get Jim Jordan and Sherrod Brown on the same show, by saying, that's interesting.
What?
I know.
I heard that, but you had that or you're going to?
I've had them both on at different times. Jim Jordan has come on and so has Sherrod Brown, and I find them both very interesting, and I hope they'll come back.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, members of the Third Reich were interesting. but you've got to be careful. What was his name, who was at the head of the UN, and it was revealed that he had been a party member? Kurt... Oh, God.
Waldheim.
Kurt Waldheim. Larry Gelbart, the brilliant comedy writer, when it was revealed that he had in fact been a party member, which was of course not mentioned in his autobiography, and so Larry Gelbart was asked about it, and he said, it's interesting, isn't it, there's a new mental illness to worry about, Waldheimer's, you forget you were a Nazi.
Oh, man. Mr. Cavett, as we head into this night, heavens knows it's going to be... We don't know right now. We just don't know. But what's your just read in general? What do you
think will happen? What have you made of the last year and a half? Sum it up for us.
As Lincoln said about if I had all the wisdom of the world, I would not know what to do about slavery. I don't think I can handle that. I fear violence will happen. I think somebody interesting might be dead before the night is over. Did I say interesting? And I just fear Yahoo's dancing in the streets when he, by some mischance, and proving there is not a God, wins.
No, declare victory.
Well, it'll declare victory, yeah.
It's going to be some night.
I can't know yet. What kind of mind is saying, I want to know today, we can't go beyond today, when, what is it, the armies' boats are not in yet, states of the giant blocks of boats not in yet. There'll be disputed totals. And is that a mind that would say it's got to be today?
But I think it has to be today if it goes that person's way. If it doesn't go that person's way, it probably won't have to be today.
Yeah. Oh, gee.
I know.
Well, Let's wish each other luck.
Yes, and Dick, it is my honor to have you on election morning, and of course I thank Martha for making it all happen. I thank you both so much, and I hope we'll talk again in the future, because who knows where this country will go after today. It could be very interesting.
That's right.
But we'll all stick together.
That's right. We will stick together.
If we talk together again, it'll have to be in the future, won't it?
It will. We can't, you know, only if we could do the past to do it all over again. Thank Dick and Martha, thank you both so much.
Thanks, Al.
Bye-bye.
Hey, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Say so long, Dick.
So long, Dick.
Oh, no.
Ooh, that's too...
It's iffy.
But you did it. You're a man.
It's election day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, man. The legendary Dick Cavett. Take that as you want it. Here we go. We're going to have another guest here this morning, and we might momentarily. So stick with us here, and we'll see what happens. It's an interesting life, is it not? Dick Cavett calling in this morning. Dick Cavett has been such a good pal to me over the years as far as calling in and doing the things he's done. I appreciate it quite a bit. But we need to get some election perspective here in regard to what's going on. It's Mr. Cavett is nervous. Everybody's nervous. It's a weird thing. I've never seen anything like that. Very, very strange in a lot of ways. But it's the way it is. People have made their predictions. You know what? At this point, everybody's made their predictions. People are voting. People have voted early. We've done what we've done. And here we are. You know, there's really nothing else to say at this particular point. We are where we are. All right. Let me see here. Okay. Here comes our guest. I thought we were going to have another guest here this morning. All right. And as we head along on Election Day this morning, we thank the legendary talk show host Dick Cavett for joining us, and we're going to spend our remaining moments this morning with a gentleman who knows something about elections from the Stony Brook University, Helmut Norpoth. Helmut, how are you?
Good morning. Very well. How about yourself?
Oh, good to speak with you. So glad you could come on short notice this morning. Tell us what your connection is, for people who don't know, to presidential elections.
Where should I start? To make it very simple, I have a formula that utilizes primary elections going all the way back to 1912, including Warren Harding, that your station is named after, I gather. This sort of analysis predicts that if you do well in the primaries, and recently in the early primaries, you have a very good chance of winning the election in November. So there's a very strong connection between what happens in primaries and what happens in November. And so this time, for 2020, my prediction is that Donald Trump has a 91% chance of being reelected. That sounds crazy, I know, when you look at the polls. It looks like a 91% chance of losing, but that's what this analysis produces.
Now, looking at the analysis, because I think a lot of people have looked at this year because of the pandemic, because really there was no primary on the Republican side with Donald Trump. We know what the formula says. Do you think the formula is going to be right this time? Do you believe Donald Trump will be reelected?
Well, let me just be a little brusque and correct you on one thing. Donald Trump contested the Republican primaries, and in fact was an incredible turnout for a sitting president, bigger than what happened with Obama and Bush in earlier elections like this. And he actually did have a sort of brand name challenger in the form of William Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts. Not really a nobody. And Donald Trump won in New Hampshire with 86% of the vote. That's pretty striking. And if you look at some other elections where sitting presidents did not fare that well, like the elder Bush in 92 or Jimmy Carter in 1980, or some other presidents that did so poorly that they pulled out, like Lyndon Johnson and Truman, to go all the way back, I mean, you can see that that even with a sitting president, the way they do in these primaries, especially the early ones, is very telling about what happens in November.
That's very interesting. Do you think the pandemic has any effect on this? Because this came pretty much after the primary season.
Well, I hate to sound foolish or contrarian, but my answer is no. My use of primaries is not so much to get an idea as to what I would predict in March when I posted my forecast. I wasn't saying in March that if the election was being held that day, this would be the outcome, and then things happen, and then you might want to revise that the way people do use polls like Nate Silver and other people like that. What I was saying is that something that happens in the primaries that early is something that tells us something about the future. And my best analogy, I would say, from something totally different is lightning and thunder. Okay, you see the lightning, but you don't hear the thunder until sort of a few seconds later. Now, a little bit more than seconds between primaries and the general, but the idea is pretty much the same, that something happens that tells us something about how candidates fare in a campaign and election. And Donald Trump did very well, even for a sitting president, and Joe Biden probably did the worst of any of any candidate who ever got the nomination for quite a while. I mean, he did so poorly. I mean, you may remember in New Hampshire, he barely got 10%, was in fifth place, and given up for dead by a lot of people, I believe. And yes, he came back and did better in South Carolina, and then moved on and got the nomination. But I think that early shaky start is quite telling, or has been quite telling in the past. So I know that, I mean, this is something incredible that happened this year, unprecedented clearly, but I think if you go back about 100 years of elections, you'll find that in almost every election there are certain surprises, October surprises or something, that always had the potential of upsetting the card. And so I'll see after the election when we look back as to how that the pandemic affected the vote, whether it was the big deal that people think it was.
Two quick questions on this before we let you go here on this election morning. Why, if this does happen and President Trump is reelected tonight, we're talking 10 percentage points in almost all the polls, even Fox News polls, which tend to skew a little more toward the conservative, are showing Joe Biden either pretty close to 10% or 10% ahead. Why are those so wrong, if it does
happen? You're talking about national polls.
Yes.
And I think there's quite a bit of variance. I mean, I think You have polls ranging from as low as 3% to high. I think 10% is a high end, clearly. I think the average is more, let's say, in the middle. But national polls don't elect the president. I mean, we know the national popular vote is not what does it. Hillary Clinton won 3 million more votes in 2016 and still lost the presidency because, in the end, I mean, it's the Electoral College, and I mean, people learn that, I mean, in 101 political science, the Electoral College is still what elects the president, and if a president is able to fashion a combination of states, battleground states, of which Ohio is clearly one, and wins those, and maybe by just a little, although I think he won Ohio last time by quite a good bit, you can win the presidency. And so you have to look at the battleground states, and from what I see there, Biden, has a lead, but it's pretty close to what Hillary Clinton had in 2016. So I would say beware and remember 2016 about what happened. And I'm not sure. I mean, the polls in those states have learned enough or made enough adjustments to fix what went wrong 4 years ago.
And the final question is, in the predictions that you have made, there have been, I think, is it 25 out of the last 27 that have been right?
Yeah.
Okay. The two times that it was wrong, what happened?
Well, one was, I would say, it was only half wrong. I mean, in fact, I mean, some of my colleagues don't even count that as a miss. That was 2000 when most of us were predicting the popular vote because we didn't anticipate these kind of discrepancies. And I think you could argue in 2000 there were so many odd things going on in one state, namely Florida. Remember the recount that took about, I don't know, a month to finally clear up. It's very likely that somebody said the wrong man was elected president because of these kind of oddities of the ballots and chance. So the only other one is 1960, and this was the closest election I think we ever had in terms of the percentage margin, and so missing that, I'm not too upset about.
It's fascinating, and we will see what happens tonight. You know, a lot of people have made predictions. Professor Alan Lichtman, who I think has gotten everyone right with his system since 1980, he's predicted Biden. What's going to be different, and he predicted Trump in 2016, somebody is going to be wrong tonight for the first time in a long time, and that's why is that happening this year?
Well, I don't know whether any of this is the first time. I think it depends, how you count some of the misses and et cetera. And I think Lichtman and I are on the same page there. I mean, he predicted the popular vote and predicted Gore, and he counts that as a hit. So, I don't think in this business you can be right all the time. I think if you made that claim, you'd probably be suspect. I mean, people will think you're cooking the books. So we have to live with some misses. And I mean, if you get like 90% or more right over quite a period, and even if this one were to go wrong for me, it would not be the end of this endeavor. You have to live with that. That's life.
Absolutely.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I hope when we know the answer, you'll come back with us and we can discuss what was right or what was not right, because either way here, it's going to be a little shocking, because I think most people think Biden's going to win. So if you're right, wow, you knew before other people. And if it goes the other way, maybe we can try to figure out why it went the other way.
Okay, I'm very happy to do that.
Hey,
yes,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, that was Helmut Norpoth from Stony Brook University. 25 of the last 27 elections right with his system. He says Trump. Alan Lichtman, since 1980, with his system, has gotten everyone right since 2000. He says Biden. What is going to happen tonight? Well, tune in here starting at 7:15. It's been a great election morning. Come back with us tonight, as I say. For this election day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Talk with you at 7:15 tonight.
We'll follow there at 1 p.m. with Pastor Gary Stevens officiating. Burial will take place in Grand Prairie Cemetery. You may leave an online condolence at SnyderFuneralHomes.com. for Tommy J. Saunders of Marion. Thomas Dwayne Beitler, age 67, passed away on Friday, October 30th, at Grant Medical Center in Columbus. He is survived by his sons, grandchildren, brothers,